this is Bethany, and I want to thank you for joining Rooftops Podcast. My prayer for you today is that you would be encouraged and you'd be challenged to activate your own faith as you hear God speak to your heart. Today, we're going to be talking about choosing humility. Have you ever felt burdened in your heart and your mind as if there was just this heavy load that was weighing you down? It was stealing your peace and robbing you from finding rest. Maybe you feel unsettled or uneasy or anxious and worried, or just that your mind is reeling and won't seem to slow down. Well, join the club. I think that we've all felt like this before. For Christians, for a believer in Christ, we know that the antidote to worry is faith, that trusting God really does bring about peace in our lives. It brings about rest. And so I want to read a few verses out of Hebrews that talk about this very thing. In Hebrews 4:1, it says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." So there's this promise of rest that God wants us to enter. In Hebrews 4:3 says, "For only we who believe can enter his rest." So it takes faith again. And Hebrews 4 verses 9 and 10 say, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." So a true indicator of whether we're in faith or not, not just, oh, I have faith in God, but an indicator of whether we're in faith or not is whether we have peace or not, because true faith does bring rest. And some of you may be thinking, I do have faith in God, but I'm just still really struggling with a lack of peace. So I want to share something with you the Lord helped me with and spoke to my heart one day when I was just struggling. Again, just struggling in my heart with things and things that were going on in life. And I had prayed and I just couldn't seem to find relief. And I heard the Lord say to me, just whisper, you know, in my spirit that your strength is in humility. Your strength is in humility, especially with an emphasis on I could choose humility. It was a choice that I could make when I felt like I was just overwhelmed with feelings or stress or whatever it might be. I could choose humility. But I was kind of digging into this and I thought, what does that really mean? You know? And so this verse came to me in Matthew 18. It's verses 2-4, I'm reading. "Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" So we see, just to enter the kingdom of heaven, just to be saved, we have to put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. But there's a specific kind of faith that we need, and we need to choose to have it. We can choose to have a humble faith. When you think about a little child, I mean, they're usually unburdened by the cares and worries of life, right? They're kind of unaffected by those things. So what comes to your mind when you think of the word humility? For me, I think it's almost easier to think of the opposite of humility, which is pride and haughtiness, superiority, arrogance. But I want to suggest, I think the biggest opposite of humility or antonym for that word is just a self-sufficient mindset, just a self-sufficient attitude in life. Going back to Hebrews 4:10, remember it said, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." So for us, if we want to find rest, we're going to need to cease from our works, just as God did. And so for us, this means changing our self-reliant ways and embracing dependency on God in every single area of our life. In essence, it's relinquishing control, taking our hands off and releasing it to God. I didn't know at the time when God spoke to me about my strength being in humility. I did not realize how choosing humility could have such an impact on my worry and anxiety. It really honestly blew me away that in moments where, again, I just was overwhelmed, that I could step back and I could just choose humility. And it could determine whether I was going to have peace or not. Because pride says, I got this. I can handle this. I can do this. And the thing about pride is it is so stinking heavy, okay? It's heavy and it just has this gravity to it where it pulls us downward. That's why Proverbs 16:8 says, pride goes before destruction, haughtiness before a fall. But humility is a load lifter. It can lift heavy burdens from us. I don't know about you, but I personally struggle with things just being undone, left incomplete. So I've noticed that it's very hard for me to rest at times when the boxes are not checked, when there are things that still need to be finished. The problem with this is that everything in life is in progress, right? So we have to be able to find rest even though things are undone, even though we're undone. And so for me, I have this list, and it's things that I need to get done, things that, you know, are my responsibilities and so forth and so on. And I just refuse to name this list my to-do list or things that I need to get done, because just the thought of those phrases just stress me out, to be quite honest. So I named my list in progress, dot, dot, dot. And on this list, I just put things on there that I need to do, and I take them off as I go. But it just has this feeling of I'm going to get to it, I'm working on it, rather than a hard, complete, incomplete, right? So I'm learning to still choose humility, to remind myself that I'm not in control. And it seems like this small minor shift in my thinking, but immediately when I choose humility, it's like the weight just lifts off. When I remember that I'm not in control, it puts me in my place. It reminds me of who's on the throne, who is in control. I'm not. And again, it just puts me in my place in the best sort of way. I think that the sheer fact of us just spending so much time at something or with someone kind of causes us to get controlling over it or them, or even possessive, because we're so invested. You know, when you spend so much time at something, it feels like it's ours, right? It feels like it's yours when you're the one that's been working on it so hard. But we should be careful, because we don't want to be deceived by thinking that the quantity of time that we spend on something or with someone determines our right of ownership over it. And this is so easy to see with our husbands or our spouses, our children, our job, or even our ministry task or calling. We have to step back and we have to remember they're not mine. They're on borrow, so to speak. And ultimately, they belong to you, God. So you guys have probably heard people talk about, maybe even in church, like, you know, you need to take ownership. And it sounds really good and it sounds spiritual. And we do need to invest, that's for sure. But I think when we talk about taking ownership, I think what God really intended is that we would steward, that we would have stewardship rather than ownership. And I've noticed that it's kind of like just by default, we slip into this pressure of just taking control in life. And we know that only one is in control, that he's the only one strong enough to be able to carry the weight of control. And when we try to step into that position, into his position, the weight is just crushing to us. So usually those who struggle with wanting control also struggle with having peace and joy, because they don't go hand in hand. You can't have both. You can't have control. You can't be trying to grab the reins and enjoy peace. You can't be trying to hold on to the wheel so tight and enjoy rest and find joy. And so something that just helps me is just literally stepping back and saying to myself, I am not in control. Like, just saying that statement, it brings a freedom. I can exhale. And again, just remember to trust the one who is in control. So I want to encourage you, after you're done listening or watching today, just try it out for yourself. Just say it right where you are. Or maybe, you know, in the future, when you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, just step back into yourself, say, I am not in control. And it might surprise you what response this could well up within you, because I think it can bring an anxiety almost or panic if really somewhere along the way you bought into the lie that you're really in control, that if you've really convinced yourself, it can kind of throw you into a, what? I'm not in control, you know, like a shock mode for a second. For some people, I think it can bring this sort of resistance to say I'm not in control if you're a natural doer, where you've just relied so much on your own self, your strengths, and you don't want to let go because you're afraid to let go. It can also provoke feelings of weakness and vulnerability because sometimes we've just built those walls up where we've been the tough one, and to take those down and to let go makes us feel unprotected. When I was a kid growing up, I was really like an only child. I had half brothers, but as I got older, I had them, but they didn't live with me. And so I always was just kind of living the life of the only child. And my parents were just kind of off radar, young, and being kind of crazy. And so I had to figure things out for myself just from a small child. I had to learn to protect myself, to really think through things and my surroundings. And so I just learned to look out for myself. And it didn't dawn on me until I was an adult that this whole self-reliance that had developed in my life, it kind of caused this pattern to overuse like reasoning in my head, my brain, because I was always trying to find out solutions. In other words, I was just like always in my head all the time. It just never shut off. And I'm probably not the only one. I think this can be just like this deep rut that we can get into. We get stuck in where our minds take over and they run full steam ahead like a freight train, it feels like. Maybe you've had the thought of, I'm the only one that can get this done, or at least do it right, at least do it my way. It all depends on me. I know I've thought that before. And why? Why do we think that way? I think it's because we think we have to. It exposes, this kind of thinking exposes something deeper, which is a lack of trust that God is really with us. Like, we can know that up here, but really being convinced of that in our heart and our soul can be two different things. It's like we think that we have to be the one to figure everything out in order for everything to work out. But Jesus gives us a better solution. There's good news. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So I want to share an example with you in scripture that I just feel like nails this. And it's the story of Moses in Exodus 18. And I'm going to share quite a few verses here, so bear with me for a minute. But this is where Moses chooses humility. This is what it looks like, okay? And picking up in verse 13. "The next day Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning until evening?' And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws.' Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall present the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Place such men over the people of chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. Now, this is so interesting to me because Moses was the man of God, okay? Like, he's the chosen one by God. He's the chosen leader. God spoke to Moses. Moses heard God. Moses even saw God, all right? Yet his father-in-law is instructing him to handle his leadership differently. And he tells Moses, what you are doing is not good. That's like so funny to me. Moses could have been like, I'm the leader here and you can just sit down with your ideas, right? He could have been that way, but he didn't. The Bible tells us that Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and he did all that he had said. It was because Moses chose humility, he let go of control. He let go of having to do it his own way. And then his burden was lifted and he was able to endure. So, friends, next time you find yourself overwhelmed, stressed, anxious, choose humility and let God lift your burden. Thanks so much for listening to Rooftops. I hope you have a blessed day.